8 p.m. nightly. It's 86 years of doing it in the dirt. For tickets and information, check out FlintHillsRodeo.org. Cowboys, cowgirls, and you. Don't miss any of this year's rodeo in Strong City.
KVOE Live and Local, good morning. It is 8:25, now 62 degrees. And it is time for the ESU Buzz, brought to you this morning by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender. And by Emporia State University, hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at emporia.edu.
For the next 30 seconds, think about the future you want to build. Because you can build it at Emporia State University. With faculty and staff who truly care about your success, you'll build knowledge and skills in majors that will prepare you for in-demand careers, like education, nursing, business, and cybersecurity, just to name a few. At Emporia State University, we're building a new way, a better way to build your future. Come join us. Schedule a visit today at emporia.edu.
Life is too short not to love what you drive, and Emporia State Federal Credit Union can get you behind the wheel. Auto loans are available at ESFCU. Financing through your Emporia State Federal Credit Union can take the stress out of car buying. Local service and a friendly face you can trust. Apply online at ESFCU.com or text or call today to get started. 620-342-2336. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome once again to the ESU Buzz, and we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Gregory Schneider, Emporia State University Executive Director of Government Relations, and Roe R. Cross Distinguished Professor of History. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, as we are going to touch on a topic with a lot of info to unveil and pass along here this morning, and that is concerning the attacking of the cost of higher education for Emporia State students and their family. And I think, Greg, attacking is the appropriate term there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think the biggest news of the last week was the fact that we presented a KBOR. The way tuition and fees are decided is through a committee, typically, and they had recommended a 4% increase, which for us isn't substantial in terms of its dollar amount. But we thought, given all of the help we've received from the local community, from the city, from the county, from the legislature and the governor, from the foundation, that it was the best move for us to keep tuition and fees flat. We received some help to pay off the Memorial Union debt that we had for years. And part of that was the governor insisted that we not raise fees to take the place of those fees for students, which was around $250 a year. So we agreed with that, of course. We also thought, why not keep fees flat, even decrease them in some areas, like parking and some other things. So we're excited to roll out the fact that we're actually having a net decrease in terms of tuition and fees, which might be in the neighborhood of $300 to $500 a year, depending. So it's very exciting, and we're the only university right now doing that. I think we're capable of doing that because of the changes we made and all the help we've been given from all the variety of constituent groups who believe in what we're doing.
You know, one of the things that University President Ken Hush was keen to mention in his open letter yesterday was that ongoing support that you mentioned, and I kind of want to reference that here in just a little bit. But, you know, the other part of that, or at least one other part that really stood out to me, was just the sheer percentage drop in state funding, basically, for Board of Regents institutions on top of some of those educational changes that we've been noting more recently. It seems like, you know, as far as state funding for universities is concerned, that has come down at least 50% over the last, 20 to 25 years.
Yeah, easily. And I think it's even probably going back to the 90s, much higher than that. I mean, it used to be, I think, in the neighborhood of 75% of monies from the state was appropriated to fund higher ed. So, of course, this has led to the increased costs for parents and students who have to pay the way. I think it certainly has contributed to the fact that at least a lot of this current generation of students don't want to take on the added debt of going to college when there's options in trade schools and other things that can pay off substantially. 50, 40 years ago, when I was making that decision to go to college, that wasn't the case. I mean, college was the only way path forward, it seemed. But now there's other alternatives. And so we have to make it affordable and attractive to people who might be hesitant to go forward with a higher education. And I think some of the changes that we've been doing and some of the ways we've been approaching this cost reduction and making it affordable will only enhance going forward, hopefully, our enrollments. That's the key.
One other thing, too, here, Greg, is you mentioned here about enrollment, and, you know, this has to make Emporia State even more attractive. You know, there's always been, at least the last couple of years, there's been the pain of the reinvestment process, you know, that's been in place when it comes to the personnel side. But obviously it seems like you have lawmakers involved, you have the business community, other large-scale donors that see the work that you guys are doing when it comes to the new model, and they seem to be fully on board and increasingly on board over time.
Yeah, we have tremendous support, not only, of course, from our local legislators, Jeff and Mark Schreiber, but we also have had tremendous support from all facets of the state government, including the governor, who, while she initially vetoed the $9 million second year of our ESU model ask, after some discussions were held, it was put back in the omnibus bill, and so we received that just officially late last week, and so we were happy to receive that again. But the legislature's been terrific. They do see what we're doing. It's not without controversy and not certainly without a lot of conflict sometimes. It's important for me to be up there as often as I can to fight for what ESU is trying to get, and that's helpful. We also have a great team behind me pushing working here, which helps me immensely up in Topeka. And President Hush has been fantastic as well in going up there and making the rounds. And a lot of what we're doing is certainly very popular on both sides of the aisle. I mean, we've gotten support from both Republicans and Democrats.
And the ESU Foundation continues to come up big, don't they, Greg?
Yes, it's been a sea change. It's been fantastic. I mean, they've appropriated about $9 million over 3 years to help with the enhanced scholarships and the kind of scholarship support we're giving to students. So the cost there will also be reduced if students can receive scholarships for being in choir or being in the band or being in cheer, all of these sorts of things. They can stack scholarships up. They might come in with scholarships already. Hey, I might sing in the choir and get another scholarship, or I might do this and get another scholarship. So that's been incredibly helpful for us. The partnership there has been strong. So I praise their leadership as well as the trustees for helping us along in this. The community and the city and the county has stepped up as well in numerous ways. I think you're seeing this certainly with the Division II track and field championships this week. You also have the federal government. We received a grant for the Cybersecurity Center a couple of years ago through Jerry Moran. We're working with Pitt State right now through one of Jake LaTurner's requests to get $6 million for a cybersecurity center that will be actually for all 19 counties that Pitt and Emporia State serve in South and South Central Kansas, and do something with kind of synergies, exploring those with Pitt State in ways that we can help communities and which we can help students as well.
Talk a little bit about the scholarship opportunities here, Greg, specifically, and I know you can't say what's to come here, but the impact of those that has been announced really since the start of the year.
Yeah, I think I don't know enough about the details in terms of how much impact that might have on enrollments. I do know that initially when we rolled out, I think it was in the theater program, we had a huge increase in applications for that. That's the only thing I can speak of. From what I've heard from the team, in terms of how that might help, I think it'll help drastically. Our goal, and this is tough because we're all facing a demographic crunch when it comes to numbers coming forward. Fewer people had children after the recession of 2008-2009, and so all of the universities, not only here but throughout the country, are going to face a demographic cliff. And attracting students to campus, you have to make it as attractive as possible to come. If we can keep costs down, accelerate the number of scholarships for participation, including a residence hall scholarship as well, because we need to fill our residence halls, all that stuff will enhance. We're convinced will only enhance the opportunities to get more students and in the community on campus. which is the goal.
Yeah, Gregory Schneider, Emporia State Executive Director of Government Relations and Roe R. Cross Distinguished Professor of History, talking about Emporia State and their route to decreasing the cost of higher education for Emporia State students and their families. And Emporia State has a lot of plans, not planned, but in play as we speak, for a student cost savings across the board. Talk a little bit, if you could, Greg, about the college courses for area high school students and how that works.
I think that's a pretty exciting initiative. It's called Jumpstart. It's going to basically allow for high school students to take classes at Emporia State, have all the privileges of an Emporia State student for $21 a credit hour or $63 for a three-hour class. They can take up to nine hours, a semester in their senior year. So this is something designed to get high school students not only on campus in college classes, but having some of the experiences that they might have as a student, and hopefully get them hooked so that they want to come here after their senior year. So I think that's a really exciting initiative that we've rolled out for the Emporia community and the surrounding counties.
Greg, what, I guess, is next here? I know we've got the scholarship announcements that President Hush has promised here, doing so during the, you know, the commencement weekend. But what else is maybe coming along this front here that I know that you can't give a whole lot of details on, but maybe just something teasing, saying, stay tuned, we have these particular things that are coming up?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of things we're constantly talking about doing. We explore those in detail. I mean, our whole goal since President Hush has been on board and put together the team, is to look at data, to make decisions that are data-driven, to promote efficiencies. The whole ESU model is designed to enhance the experience not only of Emporia State students, as well as the community, the alumni, and everything else. That's our first goal. The second goal is to do what's best for the Regents. And so one of their pillars for the Regents is affordability, which is something that we're enacting pretty strongly. And then the third thing is what's best for the state and what's best for taxpayers. And so we are certainly receiving a lot of additional funds through the state, which we're appreciative of. We're putting that to work in the best way possible in order to accelerate our changes and our programs to get students on campus and to promote efficiency so that Emporia State's one of the best assets that the state of Kansas has.
Well, and you're also working with other universities and community colleges as well. You touched on, teaming up with Pittsburgh State on the Future Synergy. Also, together with Washburn, an articulation agreement. And what about the system-wide articulation agreements with the 19 Kansas community colleges?
So we're looking at that right now. I think it's already begun in terms of meetings for this, but usually what happens is if you have an articulation agreement, you usually do it one by one between Emporia State and, let's say, Coffee County Community College or Cowley County or something like that. What we're trying to do is to get a system-wide agreement with all 19 so that there's seamless transfer between any community college and Emporia State. Also, that our classes will seamlessly allow for the ability to transfer in from those schools in education. I think it's also business, accounting, and also nursing, and one other one. Blanking on it right now. But those are the areas we're looking at doing. So we're exploring not only this kind of synergies that we can get with Pitt State, because I think all of the regional universities, the three of us, Pitt, Emporia, and Fort Hays, all face similar problems. We're facing certainly declining enrollments. We're all rural and where we're located. Fort Hays has their China program, which helps them immensely, but that's seen some decreases too because of bad relations between China and the United States. So one of the things we explored last year and we were able to get $3 million each additional funding for was something we called the Regional Stabilization Act. The legislators didn't really like that term, and it took some fighting to get that through. What we would like and hope is that $3 million will be added to our operating money. That would be great, and that we wouldn't have to go back one time again next year for additional resources. But we can't, even though our foundation stepped up, KU, K-State, Wichita can draw lots of money from their foundations for certain projects and things because of their foundation size, an impact that they have. A research grant from the federal government for Wichita State might dwarf our whole operating budget, for instance. So, I mean, they have resources that the regional universities can't tap. So if we can explore ways in which the regionals can cooperate, like we're doing with Pitt State right now, and find synergies to cut costs, to maybe share some classes, possibilities, they might have something that our university doesn't offer, and maybe there's some online thing. We're exploring those sorts of things. We're looking at the cybersecurity program with Pitt. All of this will be beneficial to Emporia State students and to the regional economy that we serve.
One other question here, and we kind of referenced the Division II track and field championships, but this also, the way it sounds, extends to athletics in other ways.
In terms of that, what's going on with athletics?
Right.
Yeah, we've invested heavily in athletics over the last couple of years. David Spafford's done a terrific job assembling not only a team of people that are, I think, working hard to make Emporia champions in every area, but also the coaches to be able to do this. So I think in that regard, we've invested heavily in not only the programs, but the return on this is great, too, because many of those athletes, the majority of them, actually have high GPAs. They're committed to Emporia State being on campus. These are the populations that we want to have. And if we can draw more athletes from around the country to come here, all the better. So that was one of the initiatives, certainly, that went into our thinking about, you know, having the same in-state tuition for all lower 48 states was designed to attract student athletes from other parts of the country who might come to Emporia State and help us become champions.
Well, it seems like you're certainly trending in a direction that would be certainly attractive, you know, to parents and prospective college students out there, and you're doing all that you can, obviously. You know, making it more affordable is certainly top of the list, and providing programs that are attractive to would-be students, too, to Emporia State University. So, yeah, good to hear about all the positive things happening at Emporia State. Kind of, this isn't something you see a lot of places, is it, Greg?
No, we're trying. Yeah. I mean, there's headwinds against us, and so it's a constant challenge, and we're pushing against headwinds that all of higher ed is facing. But a lot of what we started a couple of years ago, a lot of schools are now trying to do and facing the same challenges. So it's possible to kind of transform, and it's a long way to go. But I think we're turning the corner where we're putting the resources and the help we've been given to work in a positive way to attract more students and to be successful going forward. And that's the mission.
Well, Greg, we appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with all this.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Gregory Snyder, Emporia State Executive Director of Government Relations and Roe R. Cross Distinguished Professor of History at Emporia State University. As Emporia State attacking the cost of higher education for ESU students and their families. And indeed, they are doing that. Our ESU Buzz brought to you this morning by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226, and by Emporia State University, hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at emporia.edu. It's 8:43.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Memorial Day weekend holiday rush has begun. 44 million Americans.